I was good, bro. I was just checking in with you.
What's good, bro? Checking in another week. How niggas doing, bro?
Hey, man. I'm not going to lie, bro. You already know. It's only Tuesday. It's been a fucking week already.
Yeah, nah. It's definitely been a hell of a week.
It's been a week, bro. Like, I'm not going to even hold you. My yesterday was terrible, bro. Like, the shit we went through yesterday, bro, the shit we went through yesterday was just the icing on the cake of, like, a fucking terrible day, bro.
Yeah.
Like, the day just started, like, niggas woke up, like, irritable. Like,
I ain't gonna just lie, started bro. The day, bro. Wait, how bad last night ended, nigga? Remember I told you I had that half a blunt? I took that half a blunt and just rolled another blunt on top of that blunt, bro. Like, and just smoked that bro. One blunt is one long ass blunt, bro. Like, I really, yeah.
Bro, the crazy thing is, I didn't do it yesterday, bro. Like, it was literally like, it was so much. I'm just like, man, I'm good, bro. I'm just going to sleep. Like, yeah. Niggas bounced back today, though. Like, today was a good day. Today was a pretty good day.
Today was sweet, bro. I've been sober all day, you know, made some cheese, you know, a little extra cheese. Wasn't expecting that to come in, but hey, you know, it's a good day.
You feel me? I'm like, I woke up, started with the gym. Bro, when I tell you, like, a great gym session, like, I don't have too many, like, outstanding gym sessions. Like, I was locked in that motherfucker today, bro.
Nigga thought he was Michael B. Jordan in that bitch for a second.
Oh, you feel me? So I was training for Creed, bro, because I'm like, bro, where did this come from? But I just wanted a really good start to the day. Like, bro, I had runner's high damn near. That's how I know, like, it was a great workout. Like, that don't never happen.
Yeah, no, that was it. This morning, huh?
Nah, bro. I ain't gonna do that at all. Look, nah. Hey, that's...
Yeah, that's what we joking.
But yeah, bro. But I do feel like it's cool, like, being able to have that bounce back, because I feel low-key, like, hell, probably like months ago, but definitely like a couple years ago, it definitely would have, like, a day like that would have affected me for much longer. So sometimes I just take the small wins, like, hey, bro, you was able to turn that around, like, real quick. Like, you ain't really let that dictate the rest of your week, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, small wins here and there.
Progress, bro. That's all that's needed, bro. More progress, you know, continue to grow, continue to get better, continue to change and evolve, bro.
Speaking of
changing and evolving, bro.
Yeah.
We witnessed a lot of change and evolving with this one specific thing, bro. And I know y'all niggas, well, not all y'all. Some of y'all know me for knowing about this subject. Some of y'all know Quals for knowing about this subject. But this is the first time both of us are going to have this conversation in front of y'all. So this week, man, we talking about music.
Oh, boy. What about music?
We're talking about music, the state of music, bro. Like I said, it's changed, it's evolved, it's different than what the fuck it was when we first started listening to music in, shit, what, 1996?
Bro, okay, no, but when do you think you started listening to music, though? Because I feel like I started, like, paying it.
I've been in church. We was raised in church, bro. We've been paying attention to music. You'd be rolling around at 2 years old singing a gospel song. Don't know why you're singing it.
Bro, the sad part is when mom's playing piano, I probably was like, it probably was a very early influence for sure. Like, the spirit is really,
I was in the choir, bro.
I did everything, bro.
I know. I still remember some of them songs. You get what I'm saying? Like,
oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Crazy part, bro. Crazy side note. I'll never forget when I realized that we was singing, like, gospel songs as kids that was sampling, like, R&B songs. Blew my mind, bro. We was singing a gospel song, and it was moms that pointed out. She was like, wait a minute. She was like, that ain't no gospel. They just sample Jill Scott. And then when I heard the Jill Scott song, I said, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, I said, drumline, you know, he was like, what y'all want to play a little Snoop Doggy Dog?
Come on, that all comes from this.
That all comes from this right here. James Brown.
Bro, I'm sorry, bro. We getting on a tangent. Drumline was funny as hell.
Bro, Drumline is a classic. I will argue with anybody that says differently. Like, it's a classic, bro.
So, Drumline or You Got Served?
Drumline, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
No, my bad. Yeah. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be Drumline or Stump the Yard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Still Drumline.
Drumline did it a better movie though.
Drumline, yeah, I'm like, it's the better movie, bro. Stump the Yard just got more famous people.
Yeah, it got funnier scenes. Okay, well, yeah. It got funnier scenes for me.
Yeah, I get that. I'm like, because I'm like, shit, the fucking scene where bro called his mama, like Nick Cannon called his mama after, he's like, yeah, no, bro, I'm ready to come home. I ain't doing shit. Then his mama sent him down. What does mama send him? Like some monkey bread or something like that? And bro was eating the monkey bread. It's like, yeah, your mama sent some more of that bread, bro. It's something. No, but shit, this is how conversations go with me and bro.
Yeah,
bro,
State
of music. State of music, bro. How you feel about this shit right now, bro? Is it good? Yeah. Is it bad? Is it indifferent?
I think I'm indifferent because I don't have a choice to be, bro. Like, there are some things I dislike about the state of music right now, but there are also some things that I can appreciate. But I also feel like that's going to always be the case, low-key, especially once you've been listening for a long time. Like, I feel like we really reaching that stage where we've seen, like, different eras and phases of music to this point. Like, for me, I feel like I started listening to music and paying attention to, like, artists and, like, who the songs were and digging into artists probably, like, middle school and, high school is when, like, really, really kind of, like, got ignited, but, like, middle school was kind of where the seed was planted. That was late 2000s for us. Sorry if we aging anybody who's listening. And don't call us old either.
And don't call us young either. For them older motherfuckers. I'm not a baby.
Yeah. Facts.
I might could be your baby, but I'm not a baby. Yep, I just said that. But
like we were saying. But yeah, bro. So that's basically like we around 15 years of listening to music, right? So that's a long time of us like understanding artists that have came and went, understanding trends in music that have came and went. So I think I've reached a place where, especially as I've grown to start even like listening to more music, it's just like it's gonna be some music that to me is like, I really don't get why niggas is making this shit. Like, why?
No,
I don't get it. But there's also music. Like, I have artists that are like, bro, like, I legitimately feel like some of y'all albums are like soundtracks to my life. Like, I legitimately feel that. Like, that shit is like legendary to me. So since I have both sides, it's like I can't really be mad. But I do just think it's interesting to see things that become the norm or things that become popular. How things change from how like albums are rolled out, and we used to have album rollouts like a month ahead of time. But that shit was like cool to us because when you started, like it wasn't just like the interview circuit it was now. Like it was, so you was doing all your shows like 106 or whatever the case may be. But we was getting two or three singles before the album dropped. You know what I'm saying? We was getting mixtape or EP before the album dropped. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It was just a different way that we was receiving music and for it to be different now. And I think like one of the biggest things for me is like the decline in the like the substance of a lot of albums. Like it's a lot of albums that I don't feel like people are really approaching like they're trying to make their best work like in creating this.
Yeah.
Which for me, and it could be a part of the artist that I've become fans of and how I appreciate music. But for me, it's like, in some way, form, or fashion, that should be the intention with every project. I ain't saying every project gonna have the same topic that you approaching or level of like vulnerability. But like, you know, for artists that experiment with every different genre, you may be trying to you know, evoke a different feeling and do a different thing, but you still are trying to make your best work within whatever you're doing. So I'm kind of indifferent, bro. I mean, yeah, it's really hard to like be upset at whatever I don't like when it's like I got this thing that like I really appreciate. So yeah,
no, I get that. I think for me, bro, I honestly feel like music as a whole isn't in a bad place. Now, when I start to break down certain things where you saying indifferent, and I can kind of understand that because I start to think of the mindset of like a Diddy saying like, oh, R&B is dead. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Or I'm like, as of recently, bro, he just, I think he just recently asked like, what is R&B? You get what I'm saying? So like, when I think about that, it's like, damn, what is R&B? Because shit, typical is like, shit, it's an acronym, nigga, R&B, rhythm and blues. You get what I'm saying? Right. Like outside of that, it's like, well, it's a feeling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like for me, I'm like, well, shit, that's a feeling. Like it's love songs. It's shit tugging at your heart. Like it's not the same energy that rap music gives, but at the same time, it's something that's just as important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, R&B, I don't know. Like, R&B is probably my second favorite genre or, you know, music behind rap or hip hop. But like R&B is tied to so much else because like I wouldn't consider like the songs that I really like from like the 80s and the 70s. I wouldn't necessarily consider them R&B. Like I would consider it soul, but like it's the foundation of R&B. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, I definitely get that. It's changed so much over time that I can see why somebody like Diddy is trying to define right now, or why he's asking the question like, "What's your definition of R&B?" And I don't know, like you more of an R&B nigga than I. Like I love R&B. I listen to R&B. Yeah. Like that's really your speed. So what do you think? Like, what would you say is the definition of R&B
as it is right now? Bro, honestly, like I look at that shit for what it is: rhythm and blues. Like,
so what does rhythm and blues mean?
Exactly. Like, to me, it's rhythm and then the aspect of blues. Like, the blues, like sad songs, emotional music, rhythm, you know, beats and production behind that shit. Like, make a nigga either dance or like a two-step or a foot tap or whatever the fuck. Like, it's some rhythm and some blues. And the blues is usually filled with melodies. You know, it's melodic. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, shit, for me, that's what R&B is. Now, that shit has gotten a little iffy with like the melodic rapper music type of shit.
I was gonna say rap and B is a genre.
Yeah, so I'm like, I understand the confusion behind it, but nigga, you know what the fuck R&B is, and you know what the fuck like melodic rap is. Like you know the difference when you hear it type shit. Like, yes, some artists make both genres. You know what I'm saying? Like a Young Blue makes melodic hip hop, but Young Blue also makes R&B, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know when Young Blue is dropping R&B, and you know when Young Blue is dropping some melodic hip hop. Same thing with like a Boogie, you get what I'm saying? Like, you know when he in R&B, you know when he's in a melodic hip hop bag. So for me, I'm like, if you understand R&B is still R&B. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Now these artists have changed. You know the music may have changed a little bit, but R&B, love, hurt, some pain, some rhythm, some melodies, a little high note, maybe not, a little shit whisper song, maybe not, you know, like that's R&B. And for some people, I know y'all probably looking at this shit like, this nigga just said a lot of shit can be R&B. But if you think about it, it can.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we got Black, we got Brandy, we got Party Next Door, we got fucking Al Green. Like, the spectrum of R&B artists is just so wide, you can't fucking box all these niggas in and say that they not R&B, but, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think that just goes for music, though. Like, in any genre, you can say the same thing. Like, I'm not the biggest country listener, right? But I would imagine that, like, there are different pockets of country music. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you know, each genre has a way that it can just be versatile. And I think that music ultimately is versatile. And that's at least what I appreciated And I feel like even if you're trying to define one of those genres right now, I don't think you can define a genre today without mentioning or referencing its influence. Like, you're going to have to say that anyway. So, I mean, Diddy being an old head, I get him asking the question, you know, type shit. But, yeah, like you said, R&B is R&B. Like, R&B is in a great place. Like, we're not
But just to even... Just because I feel like maybe I didn't answer this question so people have a clear understanding. For me, the state of music right now is fine. Like, I don't see a problem with it.
No, me neither. I don't know if the state, like you said, I think you did say it, but like, I don't know if the state of music can ever really be bad. Like, I mean, unless we're just really unimpressed with music, I guess, but I just don't see that happening with so many people making music. Like, somebody bound to be making good shit like that can be appreciated. You know what I'm saying? But another question, just in terms of like culture and music, that actually was asked by Missy, which I think was really interesting that, you know, Missy of all people asked it. But I think she was with some producer friends and the conversation came up or whatever. This was a while ago. But she asked, is there a difference between a hit and a classic? And if so, what's the difference?
Yeah, I would say cultural impact would be the difference.
Or on which side? So, like, as which side being the beneficiary?
Like a classic is going, no matter what room you play this in, if you play a classic, 90% of the room know the song. If you play a hit, you more so looking like a 75-50 range. And I know people is looking at the percentages like, nigga, that's not a big fucking difference. But when you think about it in like more of like a college view, I guess, would be the way to look at this shit. A fucking classic would be like a Dreams and Nightmares.
Right.
A hit would be more of like, what's that? She think I'm a regular rapper. I'm not. Yeah, keep going. That's a little baby shit. I don't know the name of the song, but I be seeing the video go around like that. That's more of like a hit right now. It's a hit. It's on the radio. It's something that we can listen to. It's enjoyable. Put that shit on the club. I might have a bottle in my hand. You know, I'm feeling good. Da da da. You know, but at the same time, you put on that classic. It take you back to that. Yeah. Like, it's that nostalgia that's attached to the record. It's not just a, oh, yeah, this shit fire. You know what I'm saying? It's a, nah, this is Take Care. Like, this fine wine. Like, when I put this shit on, I'm back in mode. Like, this that one that's going to put me right back there like a Jay-Z album. You get what I'm saying? Like, and not just hits. They're fucking classics. Most of them, you know?
Yeah.
But... that's another conversation for another day.
I'm weak as hell. But nah, I mean, I essentially agree. Like, to sum up everything you just said, like, I think the biggest difference is if something is a classic, it's timeless. And even breaking that down further, it's like you said, if it's a classic, you played in a room, the majority of the room, like, high majority of the room is going to know the song. On top of that, if it's a classic, it's also like, it don't matter what age is listening to the song. And let's just start with 18 so we could imagine you had 18 years to actually do some type of digging on music where you don't just know what's on the radio right now, like when you're in your early teens and stuff. So, average person or whatever. You said what?
I was going to say like a Michael Jackson off the wall.
Yeah, like, you're going to hear that song because no matter what age your parents are, they're going to play that song. Like, you know what I'm saying? So whether you...
And no matter how you feel about that song, it's still an undeniable classic.
Facts. Like, you can't... like, you're not going to win an argument with the majority of people about this song. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So whether you like 18, 25, 35, 50, like, it don't matter what generation you fall under, you respect that song. A hit, more so like, had its moment in time.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize it as a hit, but it was a hit in that moment, meaning that, yes, it may bring some form of nostalgia, but it's not on the level of what a classic will. Like, the nostalgia is like, oh, yeah, that was hot in whatever, 13, whatever the case may be. As opposed to a classic, like, yo, like, this song is amazing.
All right, so this is wild. I just came up with these two songs in my head. Yeah. I just want your response.
Throw it out there.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like your response is going to be different than my response. And I'm biased. And I don't give a fuck that I'm biased. So the songs are Nelly, Hot in Here, and then Nelly, Over and Over. Which one's a classic? Which one's a hit?
Damn, bro. I really wish I could answer that, but unless, like, I don't know Over and Over by its title.
The country song, bro. Over and Over Again.
So, like, I really wouldn't know it if I heard it. Like, I know he got a country song that performed well, but, like, I don't really, I don't know.
I'm not gonna hold it. You just fucked me up with that one. My bad. Okay, I can come up with a better one. Okay, so, like, Hard Knock Life, Jay-Z, and a 50 Cent Get Money.
Ooh. Hard Knock Life is the classic. Money is the hit.
There we go.
It's the sample too. And that, it's the shit like that. Like, cause who sampled it like that and did that? Like, who he is, where, like, it's the combination of everything.
Yeah.
Like, Get Money is some shit where it's like, that motherfucker went crazy, but like,
it did, but it didn't age well.
Right. Yeah, it is.
That's another aspect that you can add.
If you listen to enough music, the difference is easy to spot.
Yeah, I'm like, most hits have that aspect. Like, oh, that shit was fire back in 1995. But in 2023, that shit do not hit, like, at all. You know what I'm saying? And that's not knocking what it was. That's not, you know, diminishing what it was. It's still an undeniable fucking hit. It's just not a fucking classic. Like Busta Rhymes is amazing, but he's not fucking Biggie. And that's no disrespect or no knock. You get what I'm saying?
You know what? Let's give it up. Hey, beautiful analogy, bro. Beautiful analogy. Not even gonna hold you. That's the perfect way to put it. Cause like nobody disrespects Busta. Like everybody that knows music, knows rap, understands how important Busta is.
He's one of the best rappers.
Yes. But he's not Biggie. Like nobody would ever sit there and contemplate like is Busta better than Biggie. No, I need no time to discuss that. Beautiful analogy, bro. I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. But yeah, bro. Like even with like just continuing on. I mean, like music has just like changed so much, bro. Like we went from fucking like typical R&B where we had like Diddy producing everything and shit like that to more of like experimental R&B where like you got like blacks and shit like that. Like speaking of black, bro, like we need another black project. We need another black project.
Six Lack. Come on, Six Lack, man. Give us the project, bro. I think he coming this year. But I would love for him to be in the
No. I think that the fall would be the perfect time. But this not a question that was on the like the ticker or anything like that. I just got a random question. Like, what do you think the motivation is for some of these newer artists? Like that tend to disappear like a little bit more. Like a Black, you know, like he'll come and drop some fire. You know what I'm saying? And like he'll come on and like it'll be a whole thing. Cause like I know you like the rollouts. So, yeah. You know, like the way Black did his last project, like he had the Hot Wing little EP.
Yeah.
He did like a Hot Wing pop-up, I believe. He did a Joe Budden interview and then the project dropped. Like, what do you think the motivation is for him to continue to drop music? Because he does go on these hiatuses, or like not even him specifically, more so just the younger artists, I guess.
Bro, I think we're just in a time where we talk about artists like Black, Buddy, Smino, Jid, Kaz, Reason. Like, these are people that, like, you'll see a distinction in, like, when they are working and when it's like, I'm just kicking it. I'm kicking it right now. We cooling. Or, okay, we in album mode, you know, type of deal.
Mm.
And I feel like for artists that have that process, I think their motivation is, like, self-preservation. Because I look at how a lot of artists are very open about how difficult it is to navigate the music industry. Because for a lot of them, it's like, yes, they love making music, but a lot of people hate what comes with making music, like having to be so open, having your life be so accessible to a degree, or at least information about it. You lose privacy. And I think privacy is a huge part of what makes a lot of artists, like in the realm I just named, like where they pull from. I think that privacy is like necessary. So I think when we see these disappearances or these like hiatuses, I think that it's them like, all right, this is self-check. Like, maybe I ain't trying to force myself. They're not trying to force themselves to make music. Like,
they just gotta check out and like live through it for a little bit.
Yeah, but it's also like, if they got families, it's like, my first example is just, but like he talks about that, like it was times where like, bro, I'm just focused on my family for a year or two. Like, I just want to be with my kids and shit. Like, I want to enjoy, you know, marriage, whatever. Like, that's a part of it too. When they get to that stage, like Black got a daughter. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, he do his process of, you know, making an album, whatever that is. He may want to get that exact time back, you know, to his daughter type shit. So it's like, it just depends on what they got, you know, going on and what their motivation outside of music even is, like, just, you know, for life in general. So, yeah, bro, I think it really come down to that. And I think it's interesting artists that are able to successfully do that with the pressure of the industry, you know, right now, being like, everybody just wants whatever, like, just drop stuff. Just drop content. Just do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Basically.
Yeah, that's one thing I definitely give a lot of credit and respect to Love Renaissance for. That's the label that, you know, Black is over there at, Summer's at. Shelly, whichever one you going by right now, I'm sorry. But yeah, like, he over there and shit. Like, I really respect labels like that seem like they really work with the artists and they respect the artists' like wishes and the artists as a person. Cause like, with how different Summer is and the unexpected shit that like she be doing and like posting sometimes, but it's like, they rock out. They let her rock out. I'm like, they, you know, make sure she ain't doing nothing too crazy. Anything that they need to cover up or like, you know, have a article come out about, they have it come out. I'm like, it's like real, like, protect her because she's making us this money. And like, that's how I feel like every label should be structured. I feel like every label should be structured to protect the artist, but there's just so many labels where they just use and abuse the artist and just take from them, bro.
That is so interesting that you said that. First off, great point. Agree with that point. But I think that, because I'm not sure who's over Love Renaissance, but I would imagine
that's Justin. I believe his name is Justin. Wears cool pants. I might be fucking. It's a J name. I'm sorry if it's not Justin, but I believe
my,
it's
my,
Justin.
Yeah. My point though is like he's relatively young. I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I believe they all started Love Renaissance in college. Like, they all like 20 somethings. Like, they might be 30 at this point, but they all like 20 somethings. Like, they started in college.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah. When I think about that, or when you said that, it made me think about these artists who go on to have their own labels, right? Like, you know, Drake did it, Cole did it. I'm missing a boatload of names, you know, people. like a blue jeans.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know everybody has a label at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, obviously not all these labels have reached the level of the ones we mentioned, like, under the obvious, like, you know, major labels. But, like, if we're talking about, you know, Roc Nation, we're talking about from the earlier days, like, for us at least, the earlier days, like, you know, Young Money, MMG, like, those. And then even to more of our time, like, you know, TV, Dreamville, you know, like, on that level. It's like, I'm trying not to go. So the thing is, like, I feel like the only example of where I feel like this goes wrong, well, it's not the only example, I just feel like it's the biggest example, like, is Drake. Because I feel like he has a lot of very talented artists that he just doesn't, like, invest in outside of to his benefit. Like, and I ain't saying, like, it's, the, like, the worst situation ever necessarily, just, you know, from the outside looking in. But it's just more so, like, he could be doing more to help accelerate, like, some of those artists' career. Like, in my mind, I don't see no reason why, like, Party Next Door isn't bigger. Like, there's absolutely no reason for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. So, but what are your thoughts on, from, like, looking at Love Renaissance, how do you view a lot of the other labels that are, not ran, I guess, but, like, they're headed by, or, like, the lead artist is also, like, a big and prominent artist themselves? And, like, do you feel like that plays a role in maybe why, like, more labels don't operate like Love Renaissance does?
All right. So, first of all, his name is Justice.
Justice,
where his cool spans. I'm sorry. But, yeah, no, as far as, like, why other labels don't do it, just to respond to the Drake shit real quick, you know, gotta defend LVO. As far as Party, bro, like, we all know that, like, you know, Drake used Party, like, a lot in the beginning, where he was just taking shit from him, or, like, Party felt like he had to give Drake shit. I don't know, like, if he felt like he owed him type shit. But outside of that, I feel like Party also struggled with a lot of things that we, like, we heard about, like, as far as, like, depression and, like, eating and, like, different things. So it's like those things, like, shit. Certain artists, and I'm not even saying that he couldn't, but some artists can't handle the pressure, bro. I'm like, some artists get put in that position, and then because Drake is who he is, we expect him to put his own to the, like, we expect Bronny from anybody that LeBron give us, pretty much. And Drake is supposed to be LeBron. So if Party is Bronny, I am the god when it comes to this shit. But, you know, like, if Drake is supposed to be LeBron and Party's supposed to be Bronny, Party didn't come out and do what we see Bronny doing. You get what I'm saying? Like, or potentially, I guess.
Quick pinning it.
Yeah.
Is Drake the LeBron of rap? Right? You saying, like, hip hop?
Current state.
Right. Current state. Okay. So No. Okay. Because I was like, I don't feel like you're saying that. I just wanted to clarify.
No. Current state. LeBron's the oldest in the game, still at the top of the game. Drake's the oldest in the game, still at the top. Like, well, oldest, well, so, relatively type shit.
Okay. Because I was going to say, so would that not go to Jay? Necessarily,
Jay not in it.
Okay, so we not counting Jay in it.
No, because okay. Jay pop up every time DJ Khaled need a verse. That's the only time Jay rap.
He can't push a verse. He pop out when he wants to. You know what I'm saying? He pop out.
Yeah, he's retired though.
This is fair. Can you be retired and rap, bro?
I mean, Jordan unretired three times or twice. So I don't know, bro. Can you retire anything? Like, I'm like, motherfuckers said they retired from working, and then shit, 2 years later, he's been working at Walgreens. Every day. Like, oh yeah, you retired from teaching. Now you work at Walmart. Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. And that's not a knock. You know, get your money. I ain't mad at nobody getting money. I'm just saying it just be confusing sometimes. But
hey, bro. you stupid. Nah, I feel that though. And sorry, I don't know if you finished your point about Cardi.
Oh yeah, but, no. I feel like, bro, like I was saying, yeah, bro, like we expect that out of him, but at the same time, like different people can't even like Party wasn't gonna be the next one just because of what Party was dealing with and because of how the Drake relationship just was. It was too close. Outside of artists outside of Party, I feel like they have worked. Like I know people like to say, like, oh my god, like how isn't this that big? Da da da. Nobody's gonna be as big as Drake when you sign to that nigga. You're not gonna be as big as him signing to him. I don't think that's possible. That's just like Jay-Z. Jay-Z couldn't sign Memphis Bleek and make him as big as he was. Sorry.
I mean, I agree, but I also feel like you could say the same for Cole, right? There's no artist on Dreamville that's gonna be as big as Cole, in my opinion. But I don't think the gap also is as big in terms of like how much they're recognized and where they're recognized. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I just feel like there's a larger discrepancy. Not saying that's necessarily Drake's fault, because it's hard to just put all of that on him. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I just feel like that's some shit to acknowledge. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just some shit that's there. It's a fact.
Yeah, no. I get that for sure. I'm just wondering, because I don't know how much of a part Party plays in his own demise type shit.
Right.
I'm like, just because how Party is. But then I'm like, but people say that about OVO, but I'm like, Majid Jordan to me is one of the, like, as me as a nigga, for me to know who Majid Jordan is and think that they as big as they are, that's a big thing to me. I'm a nigga. I listen to nigga music, but you know, I also know who Majid Jordan is and they shit fire. You know what I'm saying? Like on some experimental pop. I don't even know electronic. Like, I don't know what they are, but I listen to them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and then it's like he just signed a female artist, first female artist he just signed. I listen to her shit. It's a little different. Not gonna lie, I don't know how I feel about that shit too right yet. But she pretty though, so it'll probably work. You know what I'm saying? Like shit, McConan worked for a little bit. He just started tripping once he signed. Once he signed, he came out and all different type of shit. Like he was on some, like he thought he was just God. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, nigga, you did all that. You signed a Drake. You folded on Drake. Remember he signed a Drake. Then he tweaked out on Drake. And then your career was over. I love McConaughey too, but
hey dog, listen. Nah, you're not wrong though, bro. I mean, yeah, that just happened to be a particular case with that. Because I still feel the same way about Division too. Like, obviously, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, like they like fire.
I think like it's more so like, I don't think that the question for people who listen to them is like, is their music fire? I think it's more so like, you don't see, like, I would think Irv Gang is known by more people than Division. I get that different genres.
Okay,
and shit.
Okay. One thing I also have to throw out there. Drake signed all Canadian niggas.
This is also true.
Like, like all these other labels, brands, everything is American. They're American niggas signing American niggas, and then they react and behave like American niggas. And then we wonder why this Canadian nigga that's half white, half Jewish, and the way his business is structured and why they act the way they act, or why, it, like, in a viewpoint, they not as big. But it's like, nigga, all them niggas over there eating. He said, what'd he say? He said, I just had some well-seared fish or something, and Party just pulled off in a white Porsche. You know what I'm saying? Like, I forgot exactly what the verse was exactly. But he said, like, nigga, we good. Like, I don't know why y'all tripping. Like, we're fine.
Nah, that's real. That's real. You're not wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
You're not wrong. These are all just facts we're presenting. You know what I'm saying? They're just,
you know,
just perspective and facts. You feel me? But yeah, bro. Bro, wrapping up, man. We kind of talked about this. Well, we tried to talk about this the other day. Boy, y'all don't even understand. Bro, they don't know about that. They don't know about the last 24, bro.
Shit. 24, it feel like more than that, but yeah, no, like that. Just know a lot of technical difficulty. Zoom, we on y'all ass. I'm like, shit, maybe we ought to start using FaceTime directly and finessing some shit. I don't fucking know, but yeah. But what was you saying, Brody? What was you saying?
Yeah, it was something that we was talking about yesterday before, like, you know, shit went left, but Eve, for y'all that don't know who Eve is, that's J. Cole's manager. He had this tweet where he was basically asking, what's the championship in music, if there even is one? And essentially, like, to shorten up what we talked about yesterday, I feel like what we both felt was, like, there really isn't one. It's just kind of depending on what the goals of the artist is. Like, success matters, and I'm pretty sure there are pinnacles that artists work to reach and want to reach to feel validated at some degree. But I don't think there's a true equivalent to, like, what a championship means in sports. Yeah. Like we rank the greatest athletes or greatest, you know, players by championships and whatever, like, a large part of it in whatever sports you play. So, but in music, we can't, like, it's unfair to go by Grammys. You know, maybe you can go by platinum records, but even still, like, there's so many different factors. Like, there could be a great artist that get fucked over by a label, so two albums that should have been platinum didn't go platinum. And now we're not having the same conversation that we might be having. So, I feel like we had different perspectives, but that's, like, where we really both landed. But did you just want to add anything to that?
Bro, honestly, I was more so in the aspect of, like, you know, as a... just comparing music to the NBA, like an NBA career. In the NBA career, you win different trophies, but every trophy ain't necessarily a championship. That's how I kind of view the music career. Like, they're different.
We're killing analogies today, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, I
do this. Three,
dog. I do this shit. But, like, when you are a music artist, I feel like you have different bench points or have different things in which you want to reach, like, I want to make it a Rolling Loud, and that's a trophy. You get what I'm saying? I want it to go gold. That's a trophy. I want it to be on Breakfast Club. That's a trophy. But I think they're like, oh, player of the month. Oh, rookie of the month. Oh, you finally scored 100 points. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's more so the comparison than a championship. That's just how I view it.
Yeah, I think I was like, if you take the idea of a championship out of it and you just look at, like, the individual accomplishments, which would make more sense anyway, that's where you can better find comparisons and have that conversation of what may mean what, and, like, you know, whatever the case may be. Interesting, though. Got a couple questions for you based on that analogy.
What up, though?
So, what would be the MVP trophy in music? Roughly, shit. Like, you know, what would your MVP be?
My MVP, I guess, right. It would, like, for me, it's like, shit, niggas having the conversation at the end of the year that, like, he had the best year or something like that. Like,
okay,
like, because. It's like, who, like, shit, last year it was, shit, 21 in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, that's the MVP, nigga. If the consensus is you was that nigga that year, you the MVP. Like, and a lot of times Drake is in that conversation, but he ain't always winning. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It could be different MVPs. Like, you got your MVP, you got your Sixth Man of the Year, you got your scoring leader.
I'm glad you're running these off, because now we're gonna do exactly what I was hoping what I was hoping we was going to be able to do. You led right into it. So, with your MVP, do you agree that your MVP for 2022 would be 21?
Yeah.
Okay. Who would have been your runner-up?
My runner-up for MVP last year?
Yeah.
Now, that get a little difficult because I'm thinking about who had a strong ass this like year outside of 21. Like, on some like features going crazy. Like, I can't think of nothing, bro. Like, all I heard was 21 last year. Like, I don't have a running up. You would be better off to like answer that. I don't know.
Yeah. I was asking for help because I don't really.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was an artist that like was consistent over the year in the way that 21.
No, I don't think so either. Like, I mean, you could say Drake because he dropped more than one project, but that other project wasn't rap. So I'm like,
can you say that? I don't think there was an artist that went on like a super crazy like feature tier.
Like, I think Future was
Future would be in the conversation.
I think Future would be in the conversation for like bounce back player of the year.
So you feel like he had a bounce back year?
Yeah.
I mean, when you say bounce back, was he bouncing back from something that like from a down year, or was he just bouncing back from like a hiatus?
I just think he was bouncing back. Like comparing I Never Liked You to his last album. I just think it was like, oh, no, you gave us exactly what we needed, bro. Like, I Never Liked You. I Never Liked You gave us that. Yeah, this Future, bro.
Yeah.
Like, with the direction of the last album, like, the documentary to come out before it and all that, and then for it to go how it went, it was just like, And then I Never Liked You was like, yeah, nah, this Future.
Okay. Okay, so then who would your scoring leader be, and what are you basing that off of in terms of music?
Scoring leader?
Yeah.
Now, I want to go Kendrick here.
Yeah, okay, and explain that one.
Because I would have, this is probably weird for some people, but for me, I think scoring leader, as scoring leader, I was going to say like the nigga just killing everything. So at first I was gonna go Drake. I know y'all probably hear me saying Drake a lot. I don't give a fuck. But like I was gonna go there first because I'm like, well shit, he dropped two albums. I'm like, he killed the Jack Harlow shit. We saw him all the time. So like he was consistent, like he was consistently scoring because we seen him the whole year. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why I went with Kendrick is because I look at scoring as like lyricism. And as far as like, Kendrick dropped the most lyrical album last year on like some pure lyricism, like impact, like, no, sit and listen to what he's saying type shit. Like, and it might not have been the craziest, like structure wise or anything like that, but I felt like The Heart Part 5, the album, yeah, it was a moment, but that moment scored a lot of fucking points. So that's why, like, if I was to give him anything, like, I wouldn't give Kendrick MVP just for one album or just for, like, the single. But I would give him that he came out and he scored like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and to that point, I think it's interesting because it would be hard to give it. It would be hard based off the argument I'm about to make, I think, to give it to him in 22. But I think the impact of it is what helps it stay in the conversation. Because I think this all started with the the first song him and King dropped? Why the song escaping me?
Family Ties.
Yes, Family Ties. I think that verse was the true beginning of like the Kendrick we're referring to, because I don't know if we had heard, like, that was late summer, early fall 2021. I don't know if anybody had really heard recent Kendrick since maybe like 2019 at the latest. And that's probably being generous. Because I really think, like, Black Panther was the last thing he kind of, like, actively did outside of a few features here and there. Yeah, but I think Family Ties was the start of it. But I'm thinking of the run of, like, Family Ties. It's funny because people talk about his verse, but even in Range Brothers, like, the Top of the Morning shit, I use that shit every day. But even the fact that, like, that shit was, like, on TikTok and, like, went viral to a degree, like, Steel Kendrick. From that, the next thing he does is the Heart Part 5. In that moment, like, that moment
pause. Let's just acknowledge that there was a length of time in between those.
Between,
like, the Baby King and the Heart Part 5.
Yes.
The way you just explained it, it sounded like the next thing he did was, that's why I was like,
the next thing, like, he did it right behind. But I'm saying, even so, like, he did that. But then 6 months later, like, okay, you dropped that and disappeared. But then this is what you dropped. And it's like, okay, another moment. Kind of like you said, like, everything that he did, even though it wasn't in droves, you know, was a moment. And if we're scoring based off of, like, that being a priority, that makes sense. And I'm saying, like, from, like, Family Ties and the King shit to Heart Part 5 to the album, its rollout, the album. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm still mad I didn't go. But from what I saw, even the concert aspect of it and him, I think,
pushing himself. Was crazy. I've seen him a lot.
Like, pushing him into himself of the performer category. I ain't trying to make no crazy statements. I'm just saying, I feel like he's pushing himself into that conversation of, like,
no, visually, his show is crazy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, I think with all that, it's like, going off of what you said originally, yeah, that's a wild year run type shit.
So you agreeing or disagreeing?
I'm agreeing. I was just getting lost there.
When you first explained, you was like, I'm going to explain why that's going to be hard to say. And I'm like, huh? Like, what you saying?
Because I think the hard part would have been that if you stopped at the album, like, right, then that's like half a year where he wasn't necessarily scoring. So if you that's all I was saying. Yeah.
I get what you're saying. So we got MVP, we got scoring leader. Yeah.
You could do a most improved, you could do a rookie of the year.
See, now I would give Future's either most improved or comeback player.
Well, I don't know if there's a comeback thing in the NBA.
I think there is a comeback player of the year. Like, I think we started that last year, didn't we? I don't know. I could be bushing, but anyway.
Yeah. Would you say Future is most improved? Who would you give rookie of the year to?
Boston Richie.
Who else would be in the rookie class to you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. No, I'm lying. Glorilla. I'm tripping. Okay. Yeah, I'm tripping. Okay. I'm tripping. Yeah, my bad.
Okay.
I was thinking about what I've been listening to lately.
That's real. Yeah, I'd have to really sit down and think to feel like what the other potential, you know, like, awards could be and shit. But I do feel like that's a great analogy, like, that those individual trophies, like, in music, whether that be for you a Grammy, whether that be a platinum album, whether that be sold out tour, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all, you know,
it could be a TV performance. Like, oh shit, I performed on Jimmy Kimmel. That's a trophy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, we respect all that shit.
Yeah. Facts. Bro, I told you before the episode it was gonna go crazy. I told you we was gonna smash.
Yeah, no. We got through that shit. I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel based off of the past 2 days, but we did that shit.
just know we committed, bro. We committed to giving y'all quality content, you feel me? But shoot, yeah, bro. Well, by the time people see this, you know, you'll probably be going and back. But hey, enjoy the trip, my boy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Enjoy.
Pray I make it there and back, bro. That's all I ask.
For sure. That don't mean the episode is stopping. You know what I'm saying? I'm just wishing my nigga well. You feel me? But yeah, bro. Shit. Till next week, man. We catch y'all next time. Peace.